Luke chapter 22. Years. Y'all heard about that guy when he hit 20 years being married? He was sitting over there crying. And they said, "What are you crying about?" He said, "Nothing." They said, "Come on, man, tell us what you're crying about." He said, "Well, 20 years ago, her daddy's told me if I didn't marry his daughter, that he gonna have me put in jail. He was gonna beat my tail." And he said, "Man, I was just sitting here thinking, here it is, 20 years. He said, "If I would have waited, I'd been a free man right now." That's old joke. Old joke. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. We're gonna read on down. Read on down here. I know Easter's coming up, the 16th, I think it is, and Easter Sunday. But this is basically like a Easter message, but I wanted to preach it a little different way, go a little different direction. It says, "Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought that they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan." I want you to notice that. "Then entered Satan." Satan entered into a body. Judas Iscariot. Named Judas, surnamed Iscariot. Being the number of the 12. Here he was. Here the guy was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. There was 12 disciples. And Jesus even said, one of y'all going to betray me. One of you, the devil himself. He called him the son of perdition. And the son of perdition is in the 2 Thessalonians is also talks about the Antichrist. So the same spirit that entered in to Judas is going to be in the Antichrist. Same one. Same. It could be the same guy. Could be Judas. And he says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot." Now, I want to say this. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12. And he healed people. He was a devil. He went about with other ones. And the Bible says he held the bag. He was the treasurer. And when Jesus said, looked at him, when he took the sup, he said, the one I give sup to, the one that dips his hand in the sup with me, and the one I give it to is going to be the one to betray me. Because John said, "Who is it, Lord? Who is it?" Simon Peter said this. He said, "Is it me? Is it me?" You know why Simon Peter asked that? He was going to go kill himself. Simon Peter said, "Is it me?" He thought, if I'm the one, I'll kill myself. And the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas named Iscariot, being a number of the 12. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad. The religious crowd was glad that Judas came. And the religious crowd, they don't like the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't like what we preach. You go down through Smyrna, you go down through Dover, you'll find religious crowd. You'll find that crowd. They don't believe they hate guys street preaching. They hate guys telling people they need to be saved. Or they think that you're going to proselyte them away from their religion or their church. And they hate them. And it says he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how they might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. They even paid him off. You talking about a traitor. You talking about being betrayed. Back in the Bible in Genesis, Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ gets sold into slavery for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ in about 151 particulars there and in the book of Genesis. But you say, why is it 30 pieces? Why is that? And the Bible prophesied it was going to be 30 pieces, inflation. And some people betray Jesus Christ for less than that. I hope there's no betrayers in here. I hope you're not. I remember when I was going to Bible school, Doc used to say this. We sit there, you know, we're sitting in Bible school. He used to say, he said, if Jesus had a devil in one of the, with 12, he said, can you imagine if you had 200 people, how many devils you got? Yeah. Now, I'm not calling you a devil. I'm not saying that. He just said, in a crowd of people, there's always those that will sell out to the devil against the church, against the God of their Bibles, against the Christians. They'll sell you out. They'll do that. And Peter said, is it me? And all the disciples said, is it me? And some people sell out for the world, the flesh, and the devil a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. I am not planning on selling out. Man, I ain't planning that one bit. Now, I got a message called, I'm not a selling. But that's not the message. But look at verse 5. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and saw opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said, you notice he said Peter and John. Peter and John was the inner circle. Now, Jesus Christ had an inner circle. You say, why were they the inner circle? Because they wanted to be there. People always say, well, there's a clique in the church. Every church has got a clique. I don't care where you're at. Your job has got a clique. But you don't quit your job because of the clique. Every place has got a clique. You say, what was the clique here? It was Peter, James, and John. Whenever Jesus went on the mountain, it was Peter, James, and John. The other ones left out. Why? They wanted to be closer to Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, can I go? The Lord's not going to make you go. None of the other disciples said, Lord, can I go? I'm tired. They didn't say that. But Peter, James, and John said, Lord, I want to go. I'll go. I'll go. And the click is when people say, hey, I want to be a part of everything. I just want to get in. I want to be a part of it. So every church has got a click. And I admit it. I'm telling you right now, we've got a click. So who's the click? I don't know, but I know this there. Amen. But Bible says he promised and saw opportunity to betray them. Then came the unleavened bread. And when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into a city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Jesus tells him the whole description. Jesus Christ is better than any kind of, GPS. He's better than any GPS you can find. He's already telling you the future, what's going to happen. He says, follow him into the house where he entered in, and he shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished, and there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now the Passover was a Jewish, it goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 12. You want to know what Passover was? That's when they kill the lamb, and every family had to have a lamb, a sacrifice. Every family had to have a sacrifice for the lamb. But then at the end, when they all went in, they killed one lamb. The nation of Israel put their hands upon it, and they went into the Holy of Holies, and they walked in, and they took that blood from that lamb and poured it. The high priest would pour it on the Holy of Holies and then get out every year, once a year. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews, that it did it once a year. But now that we're saved, Jesus Christ was our lamb. Now, he took our place, and he was crucified, and blood was shed, and he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he took our place where we can have access to the throne of God. I'm going to tell you something. That don't do something for you, knowing that you've got access to the throne of God. So when you get down and pray, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I mean, your voice is heard in heaven. All heaven, God says, hold it. Listen, that's my child talking to me. My child loves me. He wants to speak to me. I want to hear what he's got to say. As a child of God. But I believe this, before you do that, the children of Israel had to get cleansed their family. And I believe this. And when you go to prayer, you pray, God, cleanse me. Wash me in the blood. I mean, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm eternally secure, like I showed you in Sunday school. I mean, I'm eternally secure, but I need to be cleansed on a daily basis from the flesh that when I walk out in the world, and I need to get cleansed in my mind, all that stuff, and I get cleansed. But now here we are in 2017. We have access to God himself. Yeah. You can go to God himself through prayer instantly. Where the nation of Israel didn't have that. They didn't have access to God like that. They didn't have it. And you have it. And what do we do with it? The Bible says you have not because you what? We do less praying than any other people of any other time, of any other generation. We pray less. But we know how to do Facebook.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. We're rather than praying. I mean, I'm against Facebook in that sense. When somebody says, my father just went in the hospital, I'll pray. Amen. I'm for that. I'm for that. I'm for all that. I'm praise God for that. I'm praying. Man, I start praying. God, have mercy on him. I see that every day. I'm not against it in that sense. But I'll tell you, I'm against when people put on there all kinds of junk, you know, all kinds of trash, you know. I'm feeling kind of low today. Woe is me and all that kind of stuff. Well, good night, man. Get over that. Get a life. God have mercy. Get a life. And I'm not going to tell you that I feel low today.
Yeah, amen.
And everybody go, oh. Brother Benson sent me a text yesterday. I laughed so hard. And I'm telling you what, it was a text, and it's about the millennials. And this guy made up a song, and he plays all four parts in the song. And I couldn't believe Brother Benson sent it to me. I really couldn't. I mean, this guy's singing a song to Jamaican music. And he's talking about the millennials. He said, and he's saying all the millennials, how, you know, they get a trophy for just participating. And they expect everything. They want everything. I never wanted my children to have everything. I wanted them to earn some things. I wanted them to be able to appreciate something. I wanted them to go through some suffering to be able to appreciate things. But this day and time, we want to give everybody everything. And we want to say, oh, it's all right. And they grow up thinking that you owe me something. You heard about that guy, that guy did an experiment, went down on the street and walked by a guy and gave him $5. He was a bum out on the corner. And you know, he was able to work, but he didn't want to work. He just wanted money. And so he walked by and gave him $5. He did it for 30 days. Every day he walked by and gave a guy $5. Gave a guy $5. On the last day, he gave him $5. And then he said, that's it. He did an experiment. And he walked by the guy on the first day of the next month. And he walks by the guy, and the guy is sitting on the corner, and he walks on by, and the guy goes, hey. He goes, what? He said, where's my $5?
Yeah.
He said, I gave you $5 out of goodness of my heart. I was doing an experiment just to see. Now you expect it. You raise your kids to do that? Yeah. God have mercy, man.
Amen.
You'll create little monsters.
Yeah.
Amen. That's not in the message, but that's help you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then came the day of unleavened bread. And when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us and so on. And look at verse 12, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished and make ready. And they went and found as it said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour, notice the hour, God always is on time. Yeah. Just think about this, that rapture is going to take place right on time. Yeah. Everything God does is right on time.
Yeah.
And whenever, I believe this, I believe when the Lord comes back, it's going to be around Passover. Guess what we're coming up on?
Yep.
Yeah. I believe when the Lord comes back, it's going to be around, because whenever he did anything, it was around the feast day. Yeah. And the Passover, from the Passover when he was crucified, on Passover, I believe it's when the Lord's going to come back on Passover. 2,000 years. After. So when is the 2,000 years? Now they say Jesus Christ was crucified on AD 30. He was born BC 4. 4 BC. And crucified on AD 30. Now I believe when the Lord's coming back is going to be around Passover. If 30 AD is, or 2030 AD is it, because the Bible says one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, it'll be 2030, but you subtract 7 years from that, it'd be 2023. And then if the calendar's off, And you got 4 years if the calendar's off, because the Jewish days is 30, or Jewish month 30 days, and we have 31 days. And if the calendar for 2,000 years is 4 years off, according to a Jewish calendar, guess what we got? Four from 23. Said, so one man, well, that means we ain't got much time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying that's the number. I'm not saying that's the date. I'm saying it's a possibility.
Amen.
Where are we at? 2017?
Yeah.
You gonna do something for God? You better get busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You better get doing it. Why?
Amen.
I mean, everything the prophecies have been fulfilled and being fulfilled. If you're gonna do something for the Lord, you better get busy, Bubba.
Yeah.
You better not be worrying about, oh, you know, so-and-so said something to me in church. I can't believe he said that. I'm just quitting. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I went Sunday, and I told the church somewhere on Wednesday night, I went Sunday and sat and watched a man in a wheelchair trying to preach. And he did preach. And he got some kind of virus. They don't even know what it was. And it was a pastor. And he got some kind of virus that affected all his organs. And he can't hardly breathe. He said, I only got 20% of my lungs. He's on oxygen sitting there in a wheelchair. And he's like skin and bones, like death warmed over. Man, I got weeping and crying seeing that. Man, what happens? You get, well, somebody hurt my feelings. Who cares?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Do something for the Lord, man.
Amen. Yeah.
Stop wasting time. Yeah. Well, they talked about the way I dress. They talked about that. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Good night. Man, shut up. Do something for God. You say, I don't like that shut up. You know, we're not supposed to say shut up. That's right.
Be quiet.
Be quiet, children.
Yeah.
Don't say shut up. That's bad.
Yeah.
I know. But shut up. He says, when the hour was come. That's not even. We haven't got to the message yet. We'll get there. The hour was come. He sat down and 12 apostles with him. And he says, he said unto them, which desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's telling his disciple, I desire to sit here with you. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy? The Bible talks about when the rapture takes place, when we walk into heaven and the rapture takes place, guess what we're going to see? We'll see the judgment seat of Christ. And after that, the Lord takes us in a big banquet room and says, look at here. Your name's on your seat. And everybody sitting in that banquet room is going to feel like Jesus Christ is sitting right next to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
No matter where you're sitting, he's going to be right next to you. You can't, it won't be like he's all the way down, way over there, about 2 miles. No, you're going to feel like he's right next to you. And he's going to serve you. And you're going to say, well, Lord, let me tell you what so-and-so said about me. Lord, let me tell you how so-and-so treated me. No, you ain't. You ain't going to do none of that.
Yeah.
You're going to say, my Lord, my God, wish I'd done more.
Yeah.
Here we have an opportunity. If you read your Bible, we've been in the book of Revelation. We've been in Revelation, and the last church age is called the Laodicean church age. We're here right now. And you wonder why the devil's fighting you so hard? You want to know why? It's because we're in the last church age. It's called the Laodicean church age, and Jesus Christ is outside the door. But we got a church here that Jesus Christ is still welcomed. And we still welcome him in every Sunday. We want him to be in the song service. We want him to be in the prayers, praising. We want him to be in everything. And he's still welcome. And I always pray, God, give us a Philadelphian church age, which the Bible says a Philadelphian church age was when the door was open and people were being saved and people were going out serving God. You know what we have here? We got people serving God. We got people going out. We got people getting saved. We still got that going on, man. The laid out church age, they don't have that going on. We got it going on.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus Christ is always welcome.
Amen.
And he ought to be that way in your home.
Yeah.
If he's welcome in your home, there's going to be peace in your home. There'll be peace in the church. There'll be peace in your life if he's welcomed in. This is not the message yet, but we're getting there. The Bible says, he said, I'm going to suffer. And I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he says, I'm not going to eat nothing else. But then he resurrects. And after his resurrection, he walked into the room, and disciples didn't believe it was him. And he walks over. They had fish sitting on the table. And he walks over, and he takes a piece of fish. He said, and he eats it. He said, it's me. But he's talking about sitting down at a supper with them. That's what he's talking about. One day we're going to sit at a supper with him. Look what the Bible says. And it says, and he took bread, or Acts back up to verse 17, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, this, take this and divide it among yourselves. I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. Notice it wasn't fermented liquor. He didn't drink fermented liquor. He'd be contradicting himself. He'd be a liar.
Yeah.
He said the fruit of the vine. All the drunks try to use a verse that Jesus turned the water into wine. So if Jesus turned the water into wine, you're wrong with the wine, is it? If Jesus turned the water into wine, it's all right for me to drink. No, it ain't. It's called the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is called new wine. It's when you take grapes and you squeeze them out. They're not fermented. And you're not adding any ingredients to it.
Yeah. Amen.
This ain't the message where we're getting to it. And the Bible says, if any, and then in fact, verse 18, I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and break it and gave it unto them and saying, this is my body. Talking about the fruit of the vine, I want to tell you this morning, there's a lot of churches drinking fermented liquor.
Yep.
They own the Catholic Church, they have fermented liquor. But here's the thing, in a Catholic church, you don't get to drink the wine. You only get to eat the little wafer stuck on your mouth. They'll put it on your mouth. But you don't get to drink wine. Only the priests drink the wine.
Yeah.
That's why they're a bunch of alcoholics.
Yeah.
So,
Amen.
Amen. And it says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. Man, this is fun, ain't it? This is good. I'm having fun. What happens is you preach truth, man. That's the truth. Amen. That's flat out truth. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's why we have Lord's Supper here. We have Lord's Supper, and it says, do this in remembrance of me. And he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And he says, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Uh-oh. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe on that man by whom he is betrayed. And look what he says. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do the thing. Don't you know they would have killed whoever it was if they knew it?
Yeah.
And there was also strife among them. After that, they get arguing that who was going to be the greatest. It says, now, folks, you don't have to worry about being great. Some people, if they don't have the chief job, they won't do a job at all. You just got to be willing, a servant. You got to be willing to be a servant.
Yep.
And if you're willing to be a servant, God will promote you. The Bible says promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south. It cometh from the Lord.
Yep.
God promotes his people when they're willing to serve. And look at this. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said on them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not do so, be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve. You want to be chief in God's army? You want to be chief in Jesus Christ's recognition? You've got to serve.
Yep.
That's the Lord said, the way you want to be up, you got to go down.
Yep.
If you want to be up here, go down. Be willing to do whatever it is that the Lord needs, whatever the church, whatever it is. Be willing to humble yourself. Whatever trade you have, whatever God's given you, whatever gift he's given you, be willing to go down and say, Lord, I want to lift you up. You be willing to do that, God will use you. If you're not willing to do that, he'll put you on the shelf. It says, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief is he that doeth serve. Whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not the he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that what? Serveth. He's saying, If a guy's sitting at, you're waiting on a table, and the guy's sitting there, he's the greatest, the greater. He said, you're the servant. He said, I came, I didn't have you waiting on me. I waited on you.
Yeah.
And guess what he's going to be doing in there?
Yep.
He's going to wait on you again. But you know what? He's waiting on some of y'all right now to get serving.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's waiting on you.
That's good for you.
Yeah. He's waiting on you to serve. When are you going to start doing it? When are you going to finally say, well, some people get this pious, woe is me, that I'm not worthy enough to serve God. Nobody isn't here. Nobody's worthy to serve him.
That's right.
Folks, I'm not worthy to be a pastor. I'm not worthy to be a father. I'm not worthy to be a grandfather. I'm not worthy of it. But he makes you worthy.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
This is not the message yet, but we're getting to it. He says in verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. He said, and I appoint him unto you a kingdom. Think, folks, one day the kingdom cometh, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord even said in the book of Luke, he said, if you'll suffer with me, you shall reign with me. That's in the book of Romans. He said, if you'll suffer with me, he said, you'll reign with me. So what does he mean? He talks about being governors and everything over the earth. One day, those that went and served Jesus Christ are going to be serving him on this planet as representative of Jesus Christ, like governors, mayors, and so on. He's going to be in that capacity. And it says, and I appoint on you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed on me, and that ye may eat and drink in my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here's the 12 disciples. He said, you guys are going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All 12 of you guys. So when you read in the book of Revelation, you read about the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him. 12 of them are disciples. 12 of them. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to. Verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So what was Simon Peter? Simon Peter was just, he was just a fisherman, a commercial fisherman. And he was an older man. The Bible says he was probably around, Simon Peter was probably in his late 30s, early 40s. And Jesus told him, he said, John the Beloved, he was probably in his 20s. And John outran Peter to the tomb. He outran him, got to the tomb, and he wouldn't go in because of fear. But Peter busted right in there, man. He went right in there to see if the body of Jesus Christ was taken. Peter wasn't afraid, but he did get afraid. Peter wasn't afraid. He went in there, man. He wanted to find out what was going on. But Jesus turned around because why? Everybody looked at Peter. Let me tell you something. They're looking at you. Peter was a leader. Even though he was a commercial fisherman, he was uneducated, the Bible says over in the book of Acts, chapter 5, it said these men were ignorant and unlearned men. God chose ignorant and unlearned men.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with education. I'm for education. But Bob Jones Sr. used to say, education without salvation is damnation.
Yeah.
That's what we've seen in our nation.
Yep.
Education without salvation is damnation. But, man, we've seen that plenty of that. He says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. He wanted to tear Peter apart. He wanted to destroy him. He wanted to destroy the rest of them. Peter was the inner circle. He was the one that opened his mouth first every time. Peter put his foot in his mouth many times. Jesus even told him one time, he said, get behind me, Satan. Peter said, I'm gonna go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You ain't going to happen to you. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And you know what? In the garden, when Jesus was in the garden, and the Bible says Judas and all the crowd came, Simon Peter had a sword, and he was going to fight. He took that sword and tried to cut that servant of the high priest's head off, and he took his ear off. And then Jesus turned to him and said, put up your sword. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. He reaches down, picks up his ear, puts it back on his head. I've said this many times. If that would have happened to me, I would have been running, brother. I tell you what, if a man put an ear back on the head, and by a miracle like that, I'd be getting away from that man, amen, or getting closer to him and saying, have mercy on me. But he says, I pray thee, look at verse 32, of Luke chapter 22. He says, I pray thee that thou, thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He says, Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you. Everybody in this room, if you're saved, you love God, the devil desires to have you. And we was going, this is kind of going along the theme in Sunday school. We was in Sunday school this morning talking about it. I mean, the devil desires to have you. I said he can't get your soul, but he gets your life, your wife, your children. He gets your life. That's just your future. I showed a picture of a man that blew his head off that got saved here. And the devil, if he has a chance, he'll destroy your family. He'll use something so insignificant, something stupid, something, man, don't mount to a hill of beans when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ. Or somebody didn't recognize you, or somebody didn't pat you on the back, somebody didn't shake your hand, or you don't feel like you're appreciated enough. I mean, the devil will use anything and everything he can to get you out of the will of God. He'll try to destroy you, man. He'll try to mess your life up. He'll try to, and usually the biggest thing is with children. And man, when parents, they say, my child, I mean, we get to the place where the kids, they think the kids will be the ones, they'll get things right, but the parents will have hard feelings towards each other, and they'll fight each other, and it causes division in the church, and cause people to be upset with one another, and you've got God, the Holy Ghost, will walk down the aisle, and people are so hard, he can't move. Yep. He said, I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. You know what? The Bible tells me in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit of God is making intercession for us right now.
Amen.
God doesn't want to see you fail.
Nope.
The Holy Spirit doesn't want to see you fail. Jesus Christ doesn't want to see you fail. Who wants to see you fail?
Satan. Yes, sir.
Huh? Come on now. Who wants to see you fail?
Satan.
After I got saved, man, I told you, after I got saved, I was always chasing this, chasing that, drinking, carrying on, drugs, women, all that stuff. And then after I got saved and I wanted to do right, it seemed like that stuff started coming towards me.
Yeah.
People wanted to give it to me free.
Yeah.
I mean, things were happening. And then I had enough sense. I was a streetwise. I had enough sense saying something ain't right. I mean, something just ain't right, man. I mean, something's going on here. Something spiritual is going on. And then I heard a preacher say, I don't care if you're the ugliest looking thing on the face of the earth. The devil's got some Jezebel or some guy that will try to mess up your life. You ladies going to work every day, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you working, paying the bills, helping your husband, but be careful.
Yeah.
There's a woman down in Florida that used to go to Brother Mike's church, my daughter Ruth. They were real close friends. She was blonde hair, blue eyes, but she had a little weight on her, and she decided she was going to get the weight off so she could wear her daughter's clothes. Her daughter worked at the bank. Jesse knows who I'm talking about. Her daughter worked at the bank, and mama got the job at the bank. She lost more and more weight, and she was looking real good. She started wearing her daughter's clothes. She was real tight, wearing real tight stuff. And the manager of the bank came out, and he was married, had a family, and everything. He came out and said, wow, hey, how old are you? How old are you? She said, I'm 40. He said, you look good for that age. He started hitting on her. He started hitting on her and hitting on her, and finally, he was whispering nice, sweet things to her, saying all kinds of sweet things. You know, if you were my wife. They end up meeting each other for coffee, meeting each other for this and that. She had children. Her husband was they had a ranch, folks. They had horses. They had it going on. Beautiful daughters. They had it all going on. She ran off of that banker. Destroyed his marriage, his family. His family didn't want nothing to do with God. His kids got out. Her husband said, I'm going to stay in. But he started going out to the bars. It just about destroyed him. And I don't know what's happening with him now. But you know what? She said, I didn't do nothing wrong. He didn't treat me right. She blaming everybody else. She started blaming everybody else for her sin. Ain't my fault. It's his fault. He never said them nice things to me. He never took me out like that. He never did all that. I always say to people, hey, you married him, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I say this, man, that doesn't give you an excuse to treat your wife like a dog.
Yeah.
To walk on her like a mat. We haven't got to the message yet. God, night.
Good. Amen.
I'm just hit everything.
Yes, sir.
He says, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Let me ask you something. We're talking about the Lord coming back. I won't even get to my message. We're talking about the Lord coming back. Is your faith going to be stronger when he comes back? You know, we got some people who get right. They'll get right when they think the Lord's coming back.
Yeah. Amen.
You got some people that say, oh, man, I tell you what, I'll get saved when I think things are getting bad. You got some people, man, that think, hey, man, you know, this life, I'm having too much fun. Is your faith going to be stronger? You know, the Bible tells you to grow in grace and knowledge of his word. It tells you to be strong in the faith. It tells you don't, you know, the only way you can please God is by what? More faith.
Amen.
If you want to please God, your faith has got to grow. And the Bible says faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? Devil knows that. He knows it. So, you know, I used to have a guy come to church here. He would fall asleep sitting over here right where Chris is sitting. He'd fall asleep, man. And then one day he called me up, and his wife and him was about ready to split up. He was running around on her and everything else. And this happened. I met with him. I cried and begged God for him. And, man, the marriage is restored, but they're not in church. But you know what that guy would do? He would sit there. When we started talking about money, he'd perk up. His ears, I mean, he would like, you know, all ears then. But we talking about faith, growing your faith, learning more about God, learning more how to sing praises to God, he would fall asleep. It all depends on what your perspective is, what your goal is. Jesus said, Peter, the devil desired to have you. Look what else he says. He said, when I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, look what he says. Strengthen thy brethren.
Amen.
You know what I'm trying to do to you this morning? I'm trying to strengthen you.
Amen.
Why? Because something's coming down the road, man. One day something's coming down the road. He said, when you're converted, Peter. Peter wasn't converted yet. Folks, he didn't have salvation like you have. He was under the Old Testament economy. He was under Old Testament law. He wasn't saved yet. Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. He was still, he was God's disciple. He was safe. But he said, when you're converted, he said, strengthen the brethren. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you strengthened somebody? If you don't feed yourself and you don't get stronger, when's the last time you strengthened somebody? You know what's some problem with some of y'all? You don't want to help nobody. The only way you want to help somebody if they're going to help you. That's the only way you'll want to help somebody. I mean, folks, that's the way it is. And you said, it's a dog-eat-dog world, preacher. I'll tell you what, that's the way it is. But it shouldn't be that way in the house of God.
Amen.
Shouldn't be that way among Christians.
Yeah.
We ought to be strengthening each other, helping each other, praying for one another, seeking God for one another.
Amen.
He said, strengthen your brethren. When's the last time you done that? When's the last time you encouraged somebody? Call them up. Brother, I'll tell you, Lord laid you on my heart today. I'm praying for you. I'm going to send you a text message. I'm praying for you, man. I get text messages from people all over the country. I say, preacher, I'm praying for you. I text them, I'm praying for you too, bro. I want to see you go on. I went into the church Wednesday night. Went in there, and it was only like 8 or 9 people in that church. And we had folks here Wednesday night. Praise God they were here. And went in this church, had 8 or 9 people. I went in there. You know what I tried to do? I tried to strengthen that pastor. Went to that church Sunday morning, and that pastor was in a wheelchair. I got down and cried with him. I wanted to strengthen him. Amen. I've been calling him all week to check on him. Want to strengthen him.
Amen.
When's the last time you strengthened somebody?
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
When's the last time you encouraged somebody?
Yeah.
We're always about me. I need people to tell me, oh, I'm so down. I'm so discouraged. I'm feeling low. Hey, man, if you're getting in that book and you're singing praises to God, you wake up with a song on your heart in the morning, you don't need nobody to come around and pat you on the back, but thank God somebody does every once in a while.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, give honor whom honor is due. I'm going to say thank God for you guys. I'm going to tell you, it's easier to preach to a crowd than it is to empty pews.
Yeah.
So how do you know? I've done it.
Yeah.
I preached empty pews. At one time at this church, I thought about, we ought to buy a bunch of, what you call them, mannequins. I was going to go to like Hex, or it used to be Hex, whatever them, Macy's or something. Said, can I buy all your mannequins? And they would say, for what? I was going to dress them up and put them all in the church and make it look like we got a crowd. People walk in here and all these people would be like, wow, look at this church, it's full. But then if they touch somebody, they'd be dead.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of mannequins, sitting, a couple hundred mannequins sitting in here. And then, you know, run by and take your arm and go, put it up. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Look what he says. Does Satan have desire to sift you? Just real quick, I'll give you the message. Satan desires to sift your witness, your worship, and your work. He desires to sift your witness. Because you know what? Everybody's watching you. And you used to say, I love Jesus. And you used to carry your Bible. You said, well, I done ruined it at the job site. Well, you can still change it.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
So well, they won't believe me. Who cares? As long as you change.
That's right. Amen.
He said, look, take your Bible, look at Matthew 26 real quick. Matthew 26, he desires to sift your speech. You know what happens to a Christian when they start backsliding? Their speech changes. They start talking different. They talk one way at church and they talk another way out in the world. I've walked up on Christians and using a dirty language. I've walked on Christians. I've been with preachers that use bad language. I'm talking about the four-letter words.
Yeah.
And I've heard preachers and I say, hey, that ain't right.
Yeah, amen.
That ain't right.
Amen.
That's not right, brother.
Amen.
You know what happens when you start backsliding and the devil starts sifting you and you start, man, falling back, and he said, strengthen the brethren, your speech will change.
Yeah.
You start talk different. You know what you do? You're like beside the fire. And you know what those people said to Peter? He said, they said, your speech betrayeth thee.
Yeah. Yep.
You start talking like the filthy ones out on the job site. I work, you said, preacher, you don't know. You've never been on jobs. I work with roofers. Yeah. I've been on the job with roofers, folks. I'm talking about Philadelphia roofers, Washington, D.C. roofers. And I know the filthy language.
Yep.
I know the guys, what they talk, and I know what they say. And they tell all the dirty stuff they've done to a woman the night before. And what I did, I walk away from them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you think you're better than us? I said, no, I just don't want to hear that garbage, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Your speech, the devil desires to sift your speech. He wants your speech. He wants to control your mouth. You know, that mouth God gave you, he wants you to give him praise. The Bible says cursing and blessings can't come out of the same mouth.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. You got to be careful with your mouth, what you say. The Bible talks about the tongue is a deadly poison. And the only way that tongue can be a blessing is when it's giving God praise.
Yeah.
And talking about how good he is. That's the only way the tongue can be a blessing. This tongue here is uncontrollable unless you let God control it. If you let God control this tongue, it'll be a blessing. If you don't, it'll be a curse. That's why it's important what you listen to, what you see. Matthew 26, look at this. Matthew 26 and verse 73. Matthew 26, 73. And he says, and after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Because he wasn't cussing. They said, you're one of them. You're not using that language that we use.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Peter says, I'll show you. I'll show you I'm not one of them. Then began he to curse and to swear. Blankety blank, blank, blank. Now, I don't know the blankety blank at all. And you know what the Bible says? The cock crew. Look at verse 75. It says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, the word of Jesus. And he said unto them, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Another passage in Luke says that Jesus turned and looked at him.
Eye to eye.
I'll tell you something. The devil desires you. He desires your speech. He desires you to stay behind, not go up. And then the Bible says he went to the door in John chapter 18, verse 16. He went to the door, but he didn't go in. You know who went in? John. John went right into the hall. He walked right in there. Peter was supposed to be a big, brave, tough fisherman, commercial fisherman. Big, brave, and hard guy. I mean, man, he was, you know what happened? He got mad at the Lord. When the Lord told him, put your sword up, he was ready to fight. And the Lord said, not that way, Peter. This is not what we're going to do. He got mad. And he stood outside the door and he said, all right, you want to go that way? Just go ahead. You want to let them beat you? You want them to punch you? You want that to happen? You go ahead. And he stood at the door watching. And the Bible says that John came out one time and said, Peter, the Lord wants you inside here. I ain't going in there. I ain't going in there. He wanted this. He wanted this.
Yeah.
I could have defended him. See, God's not going to do things the way you want to do it.
Yep.
He's going to do it the way he thinks is right.
Yep.
A lot of times people get mad at God because God didn't go along with their program.
Yep.
If me pastoring this church, I wouldn't have approved our house burning down.
Right.
I wouldn't have approved my son getting run over by a car. Right. I wouldn't have approved all the things that happened.
Yep.
I wouldn't have said, okay, let's do it. I would have said, no, Lord, no. But see, he didn't ask me.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's not going to ask you.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah.
He knows what you need.
Yep.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's not going to get your opinion on it. He's the potter. We're the clay.
Yep.
You got to trust him. Your part, my part, is to trust him.
Yep.
I'll tell you something else. He stood with them. He stood with that crowd. That's why I tell people, when you get saved, get away from that old crowd. You don't, they'll take you right back.
Yep.
Yeah.
I went back to the old crowd after I was strong enough and went back and preached to them. Billy Anderson, I just gave the Camaro to his son. Billy Anderson was in the pool room where a couple of friends of mine got killed. They got killed in that pool hall. And I went in that, I used to go around that pool hall, and I'd get stolen trucks and U-Hauls. And I'd go into the pool room, and I'd say, hey, there's a party up the road, bunch of girls, everybody come on, I got a ride. And that pool hall would clear out. And I'd put them in back of a U-Haul. Stolen U-Haul. And they get in the back of that U-Haul and they said, where's the party? I said, man, I'm taking you to it. I locked them up. I locked that thing down and I took down the road and I'd jump over curves and hit things and slam on the brakes and you could hear the guy bum, 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 phone cussing me. And I blew the rear end out of the thing and I left it sitting right in the middle of the highway and state police came, arrested every one of them. I got away. I went back to the pool hall after I did all that. Said, you're a brazen thing, ain't you? I was. I went back in the pool hall, and a couple of guys wanted to fight and everything. After I got saved, I went back in the pool hall and started preaching to them. And Billy, I said, Billy Anderson was hustling pool in there. I said, hey, man, you want to go to a revival meeting? Billy went with me. I led him to the Lord at altar. Jack Green was preaching, Oliver Green's brother. And Billy, I opened the Bible down there because here I locked him in a truck. And he got arrested and arrested. I thought that stuff was funny. I really did. I thought it was funny. It was funny for me, but it wasn't funny for them. I got to lead Billy to the Lord. I wanted to go back and change things. If they were going to beat my head in, I was going to take it. The devil desired to sift you like wheat. Peter stood at the door. He wouldn't go in. He warmed himself with the wrong crowd. He stared at Jesus. Look at Luke 22. Look for Luke 22. We'll stop with this. Luke 22. This is with Peter outside the door. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Notice verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I don't want that look. There's a lot of Christians right now. You say they still have a chance to get back. I don't want that look to have him look at me and say, why didn't you serve me? He stared at Jesus. But you know what? Thank God the Lord is a merciful God.
Amen.
He didn't say, Peter, you're out. I'm not going to use you no more. You're done. You find John chapter 21. Peter says, after the resurrection, after he sees Jesus, he said, I'm going fishing. He goes back to the old fishing crowd. Jesus comes up on the shore and says, hey, children, have you caught any meat? He said, cast your net. It was a message in it. Cast your net on the right side, not on the wrong.
Yeah.
Cast your net on the right side. And the Bible says they had more fish than they could haul in. And Peter looked up and he said, he didn't even care about the fish no more. He said, that's Jesus. And the Bible says he took off his coat. He was naked, jumped in the water and swam towards the shore. And when he gets to the shore, Jesus didn't stand there and say, where were you at when I needed you? Where were you at when I was being crucified? Where were you at? Jesus is down there with a pan or some coals and he's fixing fish for him. And then he looks at Peter and he hands him food. Peter's over there eating. And Jesus says, Peter, you love me more than these? He's saying, do you love me more than these fish? Peter's got a mouthful and he says, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Jesus hands the fish around to others. Peter, got a mouthful. Yeah, Lord, you love me? Feed my lambs. I love you, Lord. I love you. He said it three times. Peter denied Jesus three times. You love me? You say, you think that's going to happen? Can you imagine at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're sitting at the table, the Lord comes up and puts his arm around you and says, you love me, don't you? You love me, right? You're faithful, right? But you don't know what so-and-so did. No, you ain't going to say that. Hey, folks. We've got the greatest opportunity in all the world. We got a church. We got buildings. We got buses. We got vans. We got people. We got children. We can make a difference. Do you love him? Feed my sheep. That's to a pastor. That's to everybody.
Yeah.
Strengthen the brethren. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. My Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy.